Going to the epistle of 2 John for our study this morning. 2 John in verse 9 will be the text for our study. We'll take the title of our lesson from that text and we'll take the main points of our lesson from that particular verse. 2 John in verse 9. The texts on the chart are from the New King James Version, unless otherwise indicated, and we'll look at some other texts in the process of our study this morning. At our reading a few moments ago from this book, 2 John, verse 4 through verse 11. In the connection with that reading, we note verse 9 again for the sake of emphasis. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. The text of this lesson mentions two possible classes of people. And you're either in one class or the other. Note that. You're either in the class that does not have God, or you're in the class that has both the Father and the Son. Think about that. Are you in the class that does not have God? Are you in the class that has both the Father and the Son? We cannot escape being in one or the other. Therefore, we need to understand the teaching of this text. Since we cannot escape being in one or the other class that is under consideration, we need to make sure we have both the Father and the Son. Let's not be in the class that does not have God at all. So to our study this morning of this particular verse of Scripture. The passage of Scripture begins with whoever transgresses and does not abide in. Whoever, saint or sinner, red, yellow, black, or white, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, it does not matter. Whoever includes everyone in mankind, all humanity. Whoever transgresses, the word transgresses itself carries with it the idea of transgressing or violating law. Breaking law, not obeying the law. If you've transgressed the law of man, you've simply violated that law. You've not obeyed that law. But how is it that the word is used in the text? Does it simply mean to violate, to disobey? The Greek word itself tells us what it means to violate, transgress, or disobey, or break something, as breaking the law. The word itself is a Greek word that is a compound word. The first part of the word is a Greek preposition, para, from which we get the word beyond. And then the last part of the word is a Greek verb that has reference to saying, let's go, or to go. Thus, to go beyond. To go beyond. When you put that preposition and Greek verb together, that's literally the idea in the word. To go beyond. So you transgress, you violate, or break the law of God when you go beyond it. We get some idea, a little bit more, how the word is used in other versions of the Scripture. American Standard Version says, whoever goeth onward. Whoever goeth onward. New American Standard Bible says, anyone who goes too far. English Standard Version, anyone who goes on ahead. And then the New International Version, anyone who runs ahead. Thayer says, to go further than is right or proper. To transgress the limits of true doctrine. That's the idea, he says, expressed in the word. Vincent, in his word study, says, whoever advances beyond the limits of Christian doctrine. So I think we understand what the word means, to go beyond, to go too far, to go further than we should. If we're hiking in one of the national forests of our day, and we see a sign on a fence post that says no trespassing, if we go beyond that point, we know we violated the law. We know we've disobeyed the law. We've broken the law. So we understand what it means to go beyond a certain point. When a policeman puts up a crime scene tape, we understand that we cannot advance beyond that tape. If we do, then we've violated or broken the law. And even our children understand what it means to go beyond. We might tell them, don't go beyond our yard. Stay in our yard. So the idea in our text is whoever transgresses, whoever goes beyond, whoever advances beyond and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So to transgress is to go beyond. To violate the law of God in this context, to break the law of God, to be disobedient to the law of God, you go beyond it. And you do not abide in it. To abide simply means to stay, to remain, continue. Even translated dwell sometimes in the Scripture. Used several times in our study when we studied recently in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So whoever transgresses and does not abide, it's easy for us to understand what the word abide means. In Acts 28 and in verse 30, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years, there's our word, in his own rented house. He dwelt, he lived, he remained, he stayed in his own rented house. We see it again used in Acts 27 and verse 31 when Paul is on board a ship as a prisoner headed to Rome. And Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless they stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Abide, stay, remain, dwell. Unless they stay in the ship, unless they stay in the confines of the ship, they'll not be saved. So in our text, whoever transgresses and does not abide, when one goes beyond, when one advances beyond, when one has gone too far and does not abide in the teaching of the doctrine of Christ, he does not have God. When one has gone beyond and does not abide in, he's gone too far. He's violated the will of God, disobeyed the will of God, transgressed the will of God. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Some say this phrase, doctrine of Christ, has reference to teaching about Christ. But it's not the teaching about Christ that is under consideration. It's the teaching of Christ himself. It is his doctrine. It is his teaching. It is his word that is under consideration. In Mark 1 and in verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching. Christ's teaching. That's the doctrine of Christ. It's what Christ taught. It's not that which was taught about him. It's what he taught. In John 7 and verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not man, but his who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. It is his teaching that is under consideration. That's the doctrine of Christ. It is simply the gospel of Jesus Christ that is under consideration. When one transgresses and does not abide in the gospel of Christ, in the teaching of Christ, that's what's under consideration. Romans 6 and verse 17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. To which, literally, into which you were delivered, is the Greek preposition. That form of doctrine into which you were delivered. What form? The word form here means mold, pattern. They had been delivered into this mold or into this pattern. We see in the text that they went in servants of sin, but they came out servants of righteousness. Yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What had they obeyed? They obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the form of doctrine. When they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, they became servants of righteousness. You might say they were poured into the gospel. The gospel molded their character. made them children of righteousness, servants of righteousness instead of servants of sin. It is the gospel that is under consideration. That's what they had obeyed from the heart, because it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. The apostles were inspired to teach this gospel, to teach that which Christ had taught. John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and tell, and he will tell you things to come." 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, Paul said, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So it was the teaching of Christ. It was the gospel of Christ. If one transgresses and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, in the gospel of Christ, they violated the will of God. Transgressed the will of God. Disobeyed the will of God. Because they've gone too far. This word, this gospel of Christ, came by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was God's word, referred to often in the scripture simply as the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly, that is, they gave themselves up, devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and prayers. Apostles' doctrine. But it wasn't their doctrine, it wasn't their teaching, it was that which they taught, but it was the very word of God. It was the word of the Lord. In Acts 5 and in verse 28, "Did we not strictly command you," the Sanhedrin council said to the apostles, "not to teach in this name," that is, by this authority? They were teaching in the name of Christ. "Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine," that is, with your teaching, "and intent to bring this man's blood on us." It wasn't their doctrine or teaching. It was the teaching authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the word of the Lord Himself. In Acts 13 and verse 12, when Paul and Barnabas on the island of Paphos, they preached the gospel to the proconsul on that island. And the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished, note this, at the teaching of the Lord. What was Paul teaching? The apostles' doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. The word of the Lord. That's what he was teaching. That's what he was preaching on that occasion. To abide in the doctrine of Christ simply means to stay within the bounds of the revealed teaching of Christ. When one transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, he is not staying within the revealed will of God. He's going beyond the revealed will of God. He is going too far. He is violating the will of God. It's hard for some to understand why it would be wrong to go beyond the teaching of Christ. But we're not to go beyond the teaching of Christ because we're commanded not to go beyond the teaching of Christ. In Revelation 22 and in verse 18, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Gone too far. Whether you take from it or whether you add to the word of God, you've gone too far. You've gone beyond that which God intends you to go. He wants you to abide within the word. Within the confines and teachings of His revealed will to you through the inspired word of the apostles and prophets of the first century. Amen. It is only when we stay within the bounds of Christ's doctrine, Christ's teaching, the gospel of Christ, that we actually show respect for the authority of Christ. Matthew 28 in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." If all authority has been given to Christ and we're to abide in the doctrine of Christ, then when we do that, we show respect for His authority. Colossians 3 and in verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So we show respect for the authority of Christ when we abide, remain, stay, and continue in the confines of the revealed will of God. As a matter of fact, we simply show respect for the silence of Scripture, because some people go beyond what God's Word says and they say and use the excuse, well, God does not say not to. Or God doesn't even speak on this subject, so it must be all right to engage in the practice. No. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do the words of this law. Amen. We do that which is contained in the law of God, in the law of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. No more and no less. Those things that have been revealed belong to God. We do not need to go beyond by adding to or taking from. We need to stay within the confines of the written word itself. Just as Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, these things, brethren, I figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. So let's not think beyond that which is written, because that which is written is the very Word of God. And when we stay within the confines of it, what we're going to see before the end of this lesson, we'll have both the Father and the Son. Proper respect for abiding in the doctrine of Christ answers many problems for us. It explains why we're not under the old law, that is, under the Old Testament. Matthew 5 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." But that old law that Jesus came to fulfill has been taken out of the way. Colossians 2 and in verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting and requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He, that is God, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. So if we're going to express proper respect for the gospel of Jesus Christ, then let us respect the fact that the old law has been taken out of the way. Amen. And let us show proper respect for the authority of Jesus Christ and the word that He has given. Proper respect for abiding in the doctrine of Christ answers the problem for many that they have regarding partaking of the Lord's Supper. In Acts 2 and verse 42, we learn that the Christians, after the day of Pentecost, continued steadfastly. They devoted themselves. They gave themselves up entirely to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. Four of the five acts of worship are mentioned here. Even fellowship, sometimes translated contribution in the New Testament. The breaking of bread under consideration here is partaking the Lord's Supper. They continued steadfastly in it. They devoted themselves to it. When? Every first day of the week. As Acts 20 and verse 7 indicates, on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. So when we abide in the gospel of Jesus Christ and just stay within the confines of the teaching of the Scripture, it solves many problems for us, doesn't it? We don't have to debate, well, when do we partake of the Lord's Supper? We know when Christians in the first century partook of the Lord's Supper. Only example we have, but that's the only one we need. And so let's just abide in the doctrine of Christ and don't go beyond it. Don't say, well, we can partake of the Lord's Supper on a Tuesday or a Friday. That's not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. It's going beyond it. It's adding to it. Someone will say, well, it didn't say not to partake of the Lord's Supper. No, but it, by example, it tells us when it was partaken. And by that, we're authorized to partake upon the first day of the week and the first day of the week only. Proper respect for abiding in the doctrine of Christ also answers a problem regarding instruments of music and worship. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing! And where's the melody to be made? In your heart. Not on stringed instruments. Not with a piano or an organ or some other instrument, but with the heart. We sing. We're not commanded to play. Colossians 3 and in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Singing. So if we have proper respect for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for abiding in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we don't have a problem when it comes to engaging in the use of music in church. Music that comes from the heart. Our text says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. What does it mean? You're either in one class or the other. If you've gone beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life and engage in practices that the gospel of Jesus Christ tells you not to, you've violated the gospel of Christ. You've disobeyed the gospel of Christ, transgressed the gospel of Christ simply because you've gone too far, having added to or taken from. You do not have God. But you could be in the class that has both the Father and the Son. To understand this, note this, Ephesians 1 and verse 3 tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. How do we get in Christ, and what does in Christ mean? In Christ means that one has a union with Christ. One has a relationship with Christ. One is in fellowship with Christ. But how does one get into that union with Christ? How does one get into that relationship? How does one get into fellowship with Jesus Christ? Well, you're baptized into that relationship. Galatians 3:26. This is the New King James Version. I like the English Standard Version because it begins with the phrase, in Christ. New King James Version, for you're all sons of God through faith. Where? In Christ Jesus. You're all sons of God in a relationship with Christ Jesus. In fellowship with Christ Jesus, you're sons of God. What does that tell you? Out of fellowship with Christ Jesus, you're not a child of God. You're not a son of God. You're all sons of God through faith in a relationship and in fellowship with Christ Jesus. Why? For as many of you as were, what? Baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. Amen. So you got into that relationship and in that association and in that union and in that fellowship by being baptized into it. Not only are you baptized into that relationship with Christ, but you're baptized into that relationship with the entire Godhead. Again, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Note this, baptizing them in, literally the preposition is into, the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. One is baptized into the name. Into the person. Name here is used by metonymy, simply put, for the person. So one is baptized into relationship not only with Jesus Christ, but he's baptized into relationship with God. He comes in union with God. He comes in union with the Holy Spirit. He comes in union with God by being baptized into that relationship, by being baptized into that reunion, by being baptized into that association. And now he can be called a child of God. Not having been baptized into that relationship, he is not a child of God. But now in that relationship, he is a child of God. Again, Galatians 3, 26, 27. 1 John 5 and in verse 11, John says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is where? It's in His Son. That tells me that there's no life outside of Christ. Amen. If you're outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, you're out of the place where eternal life exists. But I want you to add verse 12 to verse 11 of 1 John 5. Look at it. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Note verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So here we have two classes again. One who has the Son and one who does not have the Son. Who has the Son? The one who has the Son is the one who is in the Son where life exists. Do you not see that? Surely you do. To have the Son is to be in the Son. To have God is to be in God. 1 John 1 and in verse 3, note this. John said, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Know this, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. How do I have fellowship with Christ? I'm baptized into that fellowship. I'm baptized into that relationship. I'm baptized into that union. John writes that all may have fellowship with both the Father and the Son. And it is an impossibility to have fellowship with one without the other. Because when one is baptized into relationship with Christ, at the same time he's baptized into relationship with the Godhead. One cannot have fellowship with Christ and be out of fellowship with God. One cannot have fellowship with God and be out of fellowship with Christ. One is in Christ and he's in fellowship with God and Christ. 2 John 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Does not have fellowship with God. That's the idea. So when you've gone beyond the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you transgress, when you've disobeyed, when you've violated the gospel of Christ, you do not have fellowship with God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and Son. You have fellowship with both the Father and the Son because you abide in the doctrine of Christ. You remain in the confines of the teaching of the inspired will of God. As I said, there is no fellowship with God without fellowship with Christ, and there is no fellowship with Christ without fellowship with God. And the way you get into fellowship with both, the way you come into a union and a relationship with both, is by being baptized into that relationship. And you have to abide in that relationship. You have to stay in that relationship. You have to continue in that relationship. You have to live in that relationship. You have to dwell in that relationship. I used all of those words because the word abide is translated in all of those ways. When you abide in the doctrine of Christ, you remain in the doctrine of Christ. You stay in the doctrine of Christ. You continue in the doctrine of Christ. You persist in the gospel of Christ. That is, it becomes your rule of conduct and behavior every day of your life. And when it does, you're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Are you in fellowship with the Father and the Son this hour? If not, why not? If you're not in fellowship with them, you need to be in fellowship with them. If you've never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father, you can be baptized into that relationship this morning. All things are ready. We're simply waiting on you to come forward, confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, And based upon that confession, we'll baptize you into a relationship with the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And then what you'll need to do is continue in that relationship by abiding in the doctrine of Christ. So if you're a child of God and you've not abided in the doctrine of Christ, perhaps you've fallen away, have sin in your life. You need to repent of that sin, confess that sin, pray to God that He will forgive you of it. And we'll pray with you and for you if you'll let your desires be known as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.